Hello and welcome back to another episode. These views, just as a clarification, are of my own and, well, maybe, hopefully, some of others, people agree with me, or it's just me talking bollocks and you listening. I actually really want to talk about, and this, I want to call out bullshit, basically. And if you're ready to turn it off, then so be it, but you're missing out on a great episode. I need to call out bullshit, all of it, because it's just detrimental to everyone. Like, fitness, life, personal lives, everything. But unfortunately, people can't see that fight. You can only so the thing I've actually learned over the last few years, my position as an affiliate owner, gym owner, putting fingers in different pies and business and things like that is that, and especially dealing with people and building relationships, you can only have a conversation with someone who's ready to listen, that can be quite difficult to do at times. So if you're listening to me and I don't expect everyone to agree with me. I absolutely don't mean that in any, that's not what I'm getting at. But I think if you're wanting to be defensive, then maybe we need to have a different, a different way of communicating, or how we share our messages to each other. Maybe my job here is not to persuade you or anything like that. Mine is just a viewpoint, and hopefully adding some different methods of communication or adding education to Wheelhouse and giving you a different view or thought process, but certainly not to win you over or persuade you. I do have to call out the bullshit, though. Basically, that's a very weak word to use, but have to call out the bullshit of this fitness industry. And this view isn't of CrossFit or anything, it's my own personal view, right? So I've been leading into this for the last few podcasts, until you can tell that I'm a coach at heart. I want this to be taken as passion and not maybe like, you might be thinking, might be listening going, oh, maybe you've been too passive aggressive, it's really not. It's actually coming from a really, really good place. And it's a case of just, years of experience. And some words I can articulate, sometimes I can articulate really well, others maybe not so well. There's definitely better speakers than me, but I have no problem in getting my view across. But I think that we just, I said, last few weeks that people are doing things for the wrong reasons, etc. And it leads me into the point of, like, how long is it that you're going to wait till you realise that you cannot sustain what you're listening to, do it, what you're listening to, watching social media content wise, and how you're applying yourself in terms of fitness, right? So if, and this obviously is relevant to very much people within the CrossFit space, right? And I've had good feedback recently from a lot of people engaging in conversation with different things that they're experiencing in their lives and training lives and whatnot. And I think the way that we should address fitness, and we should start to think about fitness, and unfortunately the message of social media is much bigger than I can ever reach, the audience is bigger than I can ever reach, is that, have you ever considered how you're going to feel in 10 years or 30 years time? Now, the reason I say this, and I think I discussed this a little bit more on my podcast recently, last week in the last episode or the week before, is that for me, the last time I checked at my gym, and if you're listening, you're most likely going to be a member, the average age was 33, right? So very much that generation have grown up with the social media platform, and that's the way a lot of people express themselves, and they sometimes want that, seek that validation from externals and everything else. But the message that I'm trying to get at is that age group, or maybe because it can happen younger, it can happen older too, but are most vulnerable in terms of doing the now and not necessarily thinking about later the longevity of what they're currently doing. So, for me, CrossFit is a fantastic method. Certainly changed my life. It gave me the opportunity to own a business and to start the gym. But what we need to consider is It's not like what we're doing now at 33, 31, 28, whatever. It's what we need to be doing, or what we're going to be doing at like 40, 50, 60. The age group that I'm talking about most likely don't have the responsibility of children and an extended, you know, bigger families, and their children have children, etc. Whilst some of you that I have actually spoken to recently, and you know, whether it be recently or over time, is that in, you know, in 15 years time, it's very possible, maybe 20 years time, it's very possible that your child of, you know, anywhere between, realistically, I don't know, who is 4 to 10 now or even older, could have an offspring within the next, obviously sensible about this, 20 years, you know, obviously the younger they are, we're closer to 20, but it can happen at any time, right? As they go into their young adulthood, and even into adulthood past 18, 25, whatever it might be. If you think maybe you were 24 or 5 when you had, whatever. Anyway, let's go on to a different subject. Don't look into too much details. It's likely that within the next 10 to 20 years, it's possible that your child may have an offspring, depending on the age of your child. And have you ever considered how your fitness is going to serve you at that point when you have a great grandchild? Or just in general, not even if you don't have children, have you just ever considered the position or the state of your knees that you're going to be in at 40, 50, 60? The one conversation I had with someone recently, actually, won't mention any names, but the conversation was that when you start something, like you start CrossFit, or you start any training program, whether it's boxing, mixed martial arts, like you're going to get really good sensations and really good feelings, and you're going to have aches and pains and sores and things like that. And it makes you feel like there's a sense of accomplishment that you've trained something new, you've done, you know, you'll reach, and you feel in a way positive, but you feel beat up at the same time, right? But in a good sense, that you can't do that for an extended period of time, right? And have you ever thought, and the conversation that led into ever further is like, have we ever thought that it's our mindset of how we approach fitness that actually, like, sometimes our fitness has to serve us, and sometimes we have to serve our fitness. So some days it's there where we get those feelings, where we serve our fitness, and then some days it's our fitness serves us. So we're literally just ticking boxes, right? Whether this analogy works for you or not, I don't know. But if you think about when you go to work, not every day at work is as good or as productive as other days, right? Some days you are literally going into work to tick a box, to get things done in terms of a process and set you up for later on. Like, you know, whether it's a project that you've got in 10 weeks or 12 weeks, or you're dealing with other designers or whatever it might be, that, you know, contracts at work, but you're setting yourself up until that end product. And what that end product within fitness, it doesn't necessarily exist, but that's where we have like little micro goals throughout the year and things. So if we think that, whether it be a skill that you want to learn, but we need to think about functionality of when we're older. Like I genuinely believe that a lot of us, and this is not at anyone in general, this is just, I think, society, the fitness population, because of what they see. I do think the platforms of social media are so dangerous. We don't see that. So there's no one who's been doing, I guess the easiest way to explain this, right, is that CrossFit is still very young in terms of like fitness and sport. And I love CrossFit, you know, it's not me bad mouth or anything like that. But we haven't seen the effects of someone work at that level of intensity day in, day out for 30, 40 years, right? So most of the people that you see, whether it be online or what, or around you, you know, for example, I started at, I think, what, I was 20 or 21, 33 now. So a good 12 years of doing CrossFit. But we've only seen someone do that from 21 up until they're 33, like to now. We haven't seen someone do that at 21 up until they're 50. And even if the guys are at 50 now, they might have only just done that, started like 10 years ago at 40. So we haven't seen that over a 20, 30, 40 year period. So we have to think about and be sensible with our training approach, and that, you know, there's going to be some days that you're going to go into training, you are literally just ticking out a box, and you have to go, right, I serve fitness today. I think for those of you that know some of the OGs that were talking about, Josh Bridges, like his thing was pay the man, and it still is pay the man. And it just basically means that you just tick off that box that on that day, fitness is done. I'll give you a funny story actually going off subject about pay the man. So I really like that saying. And Josh Bridges, who is a CrossFit athlete from many, many years ago, I mean, still is, but he was a Navy SEAL and stuff, etc. But he had a clothing brand, Pay the Man. Good Dudes was his thing. So him, Rich Froning and Dan Bailey, three OGs, they all teamed up together and they made this Good Dudes Inc. Brand. And he released a t-shirt, and the one that I bought was just a khaki t-shirt, the Good Dudes logo on the front, and it across the top of the shoulders, it said, pay him, right? And one day, this is obviously off topic, one day I was in the gym coaching, and this was probably 7 years ago, and someone came in on, when we used to run a drop-in facility, someone came in, and at the end of their session, they were wanting to pay for that session. She goes, oh, do I pay you for the session today? Because it says pay him on. And I was like, no, you're actually dropping your first free trial session was free, but it was just so funny. Anyway, it's probably funnier at the time, maybe not as funny now. Anyway, so his thing was pay him. There's probably a few awkward laughs and thinking, oh God, Lorenzo Sharp. His thing was pay him. And you just got to turn up sometimes and just do the work. And you can't expect to have this buzzing feeling of soreness. And I mean, every time you leave the gym, it should, you know, you should have a feel-good factor. You should certainly leave better than you came out. Whether that's because you've developed skill, you've got faster, you've learned something new. But I don't think people think about that. They're chasing, and I keep saying this, it's probably some boring for maybe some of you, that we keep chasing the external factors, right? The performance element kind of gets lost. So we, you know, I said a few weeks ago that we talk about when we do fitness, we mainly, it's the motive is actually for other people. Regardless whether you agree, that's my opinion. I think that a lot of people do fitness for the wrong reasons. And I've certainly, and I showed you some vulnerability and I shared some vulnerability in the last podcast, but I certainly have changed a little bit of my approach in terms of how I do fitness. And as long as I'm having fun and as long as I'm just ticking it off, then cool, so be it. You know, there's some days where I do more, there's some days where I don't do anything, and there's some days I can give just what I've got for that day, and that's fine. Like, cool. As I said last time, I'm not going to be remembered that I was able to do Fran in 2 minutes and 57, or that I could back squat 160 kilo, or I could deadlift 180 kilo for three, or anything. No one's going to remember me for that. For when I, you know, that time comes, and if you know me, you know that that's one of my biggest fears is death. But, and I've said that again. I want to be remembered for how much of an impact of, and this is a little bit of repetitive content in a way of the impact that I had on you as an individual, like the impact that I've had personally on the community of Harrow, right? Over the years, there's been thousands of people that I've had the luxury and the pleasure and of meeting. You know, not many people are able to do that, and I'm so grateful for that. But we need to have this different approach of training. You know, we can't work out at 4,000 miles an hour. You know, we're not you're not a Concorde. You just can't. Actually, this just come to the top of my head. Concords don't fucking exist anymore because of that reason. They just can't do it. They can't fly like that. The risk is too high. And the risk, if you fucking train like a Concorde, the fucking risk of you hurting yourself or having very small lifespan within fitness is too high. That's a great analogy, actually. God, that was fantastic. So please, just get the message and just chill the fuck out and enjoy training a little bit more. You know, there is. I've 12 years I've been doing CrossFit, and God knows how long I've been in the gym for. Add another 4 or 5 years on top of that CrossFit journey. You know, 16. Yeah, I was probably, I think, started 15, 16 within like the gym environment. I have done 10 fucking thousand programs, millions of reps. There isn't a perfect program, but I can tell you what the perfect program is. The perfect program is the one that you're able to do for a fucking very, very long time. And The key word amongst everything is consistency. If you can consistently do something, it's better than not doing anything at all. And it's obviously, excuse me, but it's also better of giving everything that you can for 2-3 months, falling off the bandwagon, going back again, coming off it for 6 months, going back and doing it for 2-3. Like, I don't understand how people just don't learn from it. This is turning into a little bit of a rant bit now, but I don't mean it. And it, please trust me and believe me that it is purely just passion that I'm talking for. And I really, really wish that I could reach a much bigger audience, because I feel that there's so many things over the last few weeks that I'm saying that are so valuable that some people just need to hear it. But again, you can only have a conversation with someone who's ready to listen. So I hope that you're in a position that you're open-minded and open to hearing the viewpoint. I guess in a way, if you're listening, you probably are. But it's certainly not me having a go. It's just trying to raise that awareness of like how we can just be better individuals and like have so much more balance of just other areas of our life. You know, if you're dedicated too much to work, you miss out on your social, you miss out on your own personal aspirations and, you know, not work related, the things that you like, the things that you want to achieve. You miss out maybe on some family times with your partner, children if you have them, friends around you, etc. On the flip side of that, if you're someone who's too sociable, you know, partying all the time, late nights, you know, well, regardless of you've got a fitness goal, you, in some way, your probably career is being held back because of that attitude to working, to partying. And in the same token of like fitness, if you're too much orientated around fitness, then there could be elements, you know, and this is controversial, as you know, I'm a controversial person. This is controversial in the sense that like some people say, no, if your fitness is aligned, then you're going to be more productive at work. And I'm not disputing that. You most likely will. But if you're too serious about your fitness for the sake of, you know, just wanting to be the fastest, be the strongest, you're going to miss out on the, like, it's going to be hard for you to start conversations with people who don't have that. And, you know, there's going to be people saying, well, why would I want to hang around with those type of people? I'm not saying that's the type of person. There could be people that don't do fitness, but that could certainly add value to what you're doing or how you're trying to progress in your, you know, personal life or career. But because they maybe don't have the similar interests to you, you completely, or you don't know, you haven't developed those skills to be able to talk to them in that sense, or just not ready to have that type of conversation. And that's cool. You know, that will come in, hopefully comes in time, but we all learn. But going back, the message again today is just, think about the future that you have in fitness, because I think there was a Netflix show on this, but I think knowing about when you were to die, if you were to download this app, but put it this way, if you were to download an app that would tell you that at your current rate of training, and how long your fitness, how long you could sustain that for, like, what would that say? Would that give you like 2-3 years with injuries profiling, or, you know, coming up and say, you know, you've got 6 months of what you're doing, but because of what you're doing, you're going to cause yourself harm. So therefore, you're going to have to stop. Which leads me on to something else, right? And I hope I get this right and how I want to say it, is that, you know, often we would always encourage someone to train around an injury in terms of like, it can be managed, right? We want to give you things that you're able to do, and, you know, you don't want to completely stop. But the caveat to that is, the reason we want you to do that is because we don't want you to completely stop just because you have an injury. Now, it does depend on the extent of the injury. We want to keep you active. We want to keep you mentally sane. However, the caveat is that you need to address that injury. How many times do you get a niggle, you know, something hurts, and you just change what you're doing, which is fine. You scale something and make it more relevant to that day and take, but don't do anything about it. That also plays a big part in what I'm saying in terms of how long can you do what you're currently doing? Probably not very long. If your knees hurt when you run, that's not very good. If your back hurts when you're deadlifting, that's not very good. If your shoulder hurts every time you jump up onto the pull-up bar, that's not very good. And all that we tend to do is when we change those movements and we change those exercises, we then just create a bigger gap, and the disparity between your strength and weakness becomes bigger, because a lot of us are not willing to address it. Because, guess why? Because it doesn't give you the aesthetic result that you want from training, so you put it to one side and you think, if I stop doing it, it will go away. But actually, you make it worse because you make other things grow faster, let's say, and ligaments and tendons around other areas grow stronger and become, you know, muscles become bigger around the different area, which in turn weakens that whatever area that's hurting and makes that more vulnerable. This is also playing a big part in why we need to address our fitness for the future. That's a good one. Fitness for the future. Could be the title. Could have been the title of the show. Do you hear me out? Like, do you hear what I'm saying? I maybe for me, it's because I suffered that injury. And I don't know, it made me realize different things. But I also feel like I overanalyze a lot of things. And I think about things quite deeply. And that's the conclusion that I've come to. That social media has just unfortunately influenced and brainwashed a completely, like, more than one generation just of how things should be. But says who? Like, we define fitness by looking at someone and going, oh, they're fit. But again, it can be whatever it wants it to be. If your goal is that you want to be it is one of the goals. If your goal is to be able to do things till you're 80, 90 years of age and you don't want to be sedentary, think about people around you, right? Think about grandparents, great-grandparents, you know, older people in your family, of like how they've led a life maybe of inactivity or do it, like, and what position, like, are they able, are they independent? Are they not independent? Do they need attention? Like, because of things that maybe they've done in their past, you know, and you have to also think of that. How you live now is going to be a byproduct of, or hold on, is it the right way? How you are at 80, 90 is a byproduct of what you've done in your 20s, 30s, 40s. But I do think that part of this is also because we think we have an indefinite amount of time within this planet. So we think, fuck it, you know, and you just think it will never happen to you. I do believe that. And I want you to think about that for a second whilst I take a quick drink. You think, oh, it never happened to me. Won't happen to me. I can't get injured. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to be doing this for a long time. Yeah, you might do if you do the right things. But not if you keep fucking around and, you know, completely annihilating your body. Please, 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 please think about your fitness for the future. Have a different approach. Rather than training for the here and now, I want that feeling. I want to be fucking smashed through my workouts. You know, my one rep max hasn't gone up this time. But my knees fucking hurt and my back this. Like, just think about the position that you're going to be in 30, 40 years time. Please, just have a think. I could talk about it more, but I feel that I'm going to start repeating a lot of things I've said, and I've already repeated a few things a couple of times already. So please go away. Think about your fitness for the future. Don't come up with this bullshit of 2024 of New Year's resolutions or whatnot. I'll use a different term. Make your focus now for the longevity of your future in fitness, and not the first 3 months of 2024. Put your focus and energy into something that is going to be sustainable for you. Don't train like a fucking Concord. Just take it easy. Be the turtle, the tortoise, tortoise, not the hare. It is a marathon, not a sprint. The thing is, you guys fucking know this, but for some of you, it will go in one ear and come out the other. And it will be like, you know, I don't need to be told this, I know, yeah, but if you know, then do it. The thing is, you won't do it. Similarly, we had a 5K run programmed this week in the gym, and actually it was our lowest attendance. I have to say that. Not happy that it was, you know, but this is part of the reason that we're in this position too, and the viewpoints, like, you know, if you feel that you could have done it on your own, yeah, you could have, but it's likely that you wouldn't have done, and you haven't. And if you're avoiding it, it's the reason why you need to do it. That's going off on something else, but some of it translates and some of it interlaces, and there's values and things that you could take from Future Fitness into that and crossover and stuff. But I'll wrap it up by just, again, think about your fitness of the future, and stop thinking about here and now. No one is going to remember you for how fast, strong, and your dedicated time to fitness. They'll remember you by the impact that you had on them as an individual. Yeah.